Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can send comments through the website, plus there is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. This episode is coming out the day after Super Bowl Sunday. The big story we heard about in the lead-up to the game was the matchup between Tom Brady, the GOAT, and Patrick Mahomes, the baby GOAT, or the future GOAT. Ironically, there was an ESPN show I was watching last week, and something came up where, my gosh, still they wanted to get into the basketball version of a similar debate, still wanting to compare LeBron James with Michael Jordan. And we also just recently passed the celebration of Wayne Gretzky's 60th birthday. In hockey lore, he was always just known as the Great One. People really get stuck on labels for sports stars, but isn't it great that whether we've ever played any kind of sports or not at any level, we can all be known together by the same Christian bond, and it's all not by impressing God. In fact, in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, quote, "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are." So simple, but so true, friends. Embrace that. You don't need to pull out all the stops for God to notice you. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a pitcher getting ready for spring training with the Chicago Cubs. He had been with the Pittsburgh Pirates organization from 2016 to 2020, having initially been drafted into Major League Baseball as a second-round pick by the Miami Marlins. As a student athlete, he had played his college baseball at Arizona State University. He is also co-founder of an organization called Project 34, which we will hear about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Trevor Williams.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you for having me, and thanks for thinking of me to do this interview.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Trevor. Glad to have you here. Let's set the personal background for you first, and faith, too. Born and raised Catholic, and by the way, regardless of your answer, where were you born and raised, and what was the size of your family?
Yes, born and raised Catholic. I grew up and was born and raised in San Diego, California. I am the oldest of three boys. We are the better known as the three T's, Trevor, Trent, and Tanner. And born and raised in San Diego, and thankfully we call it home now. My wife is also from the San Diego area too, so we call San Diego our home, and we're just super thankful that our parents grew up there, because there honestly is no other place I'd rather be.
But talk about that, growing up as a Catholic with your brothers and your parents. What was the faith life like for you as a young boy?
We grew up going to CCD classes. We grew up going to Mass every Sunday. It wasn't until high school for me. It wasn't until really my confirmation class in my junior year of high school is where I started taking more serious CCD and the church, and really Catholicism was part of my life for so long, and it was always there. I just never reached out and dove into it as much as I should have when I was younger. And it wasn't until my junior year I was surrounded by a lot of good people. I had some really good mentors, and I had an experience where I fully gave my trust to the Lord and fully kind of just dove in and made the decision where, like, you know, what is the most important thing in my life? It was at an intersection in my life where baseball was becoming real. It was becoming tangible. I was going through some family tragedy, and it was where I just had to kind of look within myself and know, where am I getting the strength, and what do I need to look upon, and what do I need to do? And it was Christ Church and the sacraments and making that decision.
So were you attending any Catholic schools when you were growing up, or not necessarily?
No, I wasn't. I grew up in an area where public school, we had really good public schools. So I never attended any private schools growing up.
Okay. Well, I read that clearly baseball was always going to be the route for you, which I have to believe helps a young student athlete being able to really just go all in with knowing which sport they're pursuing instead of kind of, you know, kicking tires as a youngster. Sometimes we hear about boys or girls that will try maybe three or four different things before they finally get settled. But it seems that in your case, it was always going to be baseball. Yes.
Well, yeah, for me, it wasn't so much that I didn't want to try other sports, because believe me, I did. I was just really awful at every other sport besides baseball. And I kind of knew that and understood that from a young age. It helped me as a student athlete, especially in high school, because I knew that that was my future. That was going to get me into college. And really, every little boy that plays Little League baseball wants to be a big league baseball player. That's a pretty safe assumption. And just like anyone who plays basketball wants to be in the NBA or the WNBA, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it wasn't until I got to college where I knew that that was going to be a possibility, or at least professional baseball was going to be a possibility, and then continuing onward. But when I was in high school, knowing that I had a scholarship going to college, it kind of made me stop taking school as serious as I should have. But it's something that looking back on it, I always kind of kicked myself for saying, maybe I should have studied a little harder. Maybe I should have paid attention to this class more. But now it is, you know, it is what it is. And thankfully I'm playing professionally, and that's my job.
And I mentioned in the intro that you played your collegiate baseball at Arizona State University. Talk about the impact on you of seeing a college teammate badly hurt and what that did to you faith-wise, which in turn impacted your outlook on baseball.
Yeah, so I went to Arizona State from 2011 to 2013. I was drafted my junior year in 2013, and I came into college with a teammate that I knew playing high school travel ball, who was also from the Southern California area. His name is Corey Hahn, and he was a super uber prospect. Like he guys were surprised that he actually went to college instead of getting – he got drafted, but he didn't sign out of high school, and he wanted to come to ASU and compete to win a national championship and also to – you know, get better in 3 years and get drafted higher than he was in high school. So our freshman year, our opening weekend, he was the starting center fielder for us. And as a freshman, which is at Arizona State, that rarely happens. Like, it doesn't really happen ever. So he got the starting nod in center field. And in our second game, he went to steal second base. And there was a throw that was up the line, and he put his head down to slide head first and broke his C5 vertebrae. So at the time when it happened, we didn't know it was as serious as it was. We thought that he got knocked out, but he severed his C5 vertebrae, and it was a sobering injury. It was something that was shocking, something that I'd never expected to see anywhere in life, and even on a baseball field. But it was, after that happened, I was an 18-year-old kid, the first immediate thing is, you know, why did it happen to him? Why didn't it happen to me? Why did this guy, who had such a bright future in baseball, why did this happen to him? And you spiral down those thoughts, and you spiral with your teammates and with your friends going over the tour, asking themselves the same question. And but the constant was Corey, because he his outlook was a lot different than ours was. He saw it immediately as a challenge that he would overcome. He saw it as something that it was going to be a daily struggle, and it was going to be a daily grind that he was going to be able to get through with the help of his family and with his friends. And that was something from the very beginning that struck me. And through the years, I mean, even today, I was with him last night. Even he is a quadriplegic. He is in a wheelchair. He is doing big things in baseball. He's the pro scouting director with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Mm. And he's doing big things in ways that he didn't think he was when he was an 18-year-old kid, when we were all dream chasing to be a big leaguer. So, it made me realize, and like I said, it was sobering. It made me realize that we were chasing this dream, and we were chasing it, and that was our desire, and that was everything that we wanted, and it was taken from him. And it made me reflect that, what is the most important thing in my life, and would I be okay with it if it was taken away from me?
Wow.
And it was something that I had to reflect on, and I still reflect on, because at the major league level, I take my job very serious. I know that Sure. It is not the most important thing to me. But sometimes it feels like it is, and it's a reminder when I put the jersey on every day during the season that this is special, and this is a gift, and this is something that will be taken away from me either on my own terms or something else. But it's something that I'm constantly reminded of, where that this is a gift from Christ, and it's a gift that there's a reason why I'm still playing, and I'm constantly searching for that. For an answer, I'm constantly every day, taking up that cross and saying, lead me to what you want me to do. And
that's beautiful.
crazy experiences that he has, an 18-year-old, and but Corey's doing great, and we're grinding through. And like you said at the beginning about Project 34, is something that came out of his injury. It's the good to come out of the tragedy.
Okay. Well, speaking of bringing faith and sport together, I love how you draw a cool similarity between someone coming into the church and someone coming into baseball. Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah. So I think, I think in sports, everyone is drawn to sports in one way or another. Some people are fanatics. Some people are all in. But I think there's a natural inclination to sports and to competition and to the winners and to the losers. And it's something that I think is there are similarities to the church. When you're going through it as a kid and you feel like you're being dragged to church, you're thankful for it later. Just like I grew up a Padres fan growing up, and at the time I wasn't too thrilled about it, but as I got older, I was like, you know what, these Padres are great. this is a great team. This is something that I really enjoy. And it's something that I think you can find a lot of parallels to your faith life and to sports. Just as sports can teach you a lot about life, I think there's stories from the church and our tradition and with saints that have gone through literally everything that we've gone through and more.
Listeners, Trevor, as I mentioned, is starting with a new MLB team, which of course brings with it its own set of challenges. Of course, he no doubt brings his Catholic faith along with him as he gets ready to start with the Cubs. But before I have him talk about that, I'm blessed to have a new donor to thank for making a financial contribution to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. That person knows who they are. They sent me a check through the U.S. mail and handwrote me a note thanking me for a particular recent interview that I did. I didn't have to send the email that asks whether they wanted their name said on an upcoming episode or not, though, because they did also write on there, anonymous, please. So thank you again for that. Nonetheless, of course, I do send an email confirmation and thank you to acknowledge the check anyway. This is my ministry, and as you've heard me detail on a number of episodes, I do certainly get challenged with a lot of expenses to keep Catholic Sports Radio going, but I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, so anything sent in definitely does help. So if you like what I'm doing, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life and you see value in everything I put into this and I deliver, I would greatly appreciate your support. There is a convenient way to contribute, which is the Donate to CSR button. on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's easy and secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts and no minimum. Alternatively, as some others like this latest donor have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of the website and ask me for the mailing address to send a check to. Regardless of which method you use, I do truly appreciate everyone who contributes. And yes, I will even happily say your name on Catholic Sports Radio or give you a public thanks via social media, or of course you can choose to keep it anonymous. I would greatly appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Trevor, it has to be a big move changing teams like you're doing, having actually just gotten signed last week by the Cubs. Realistically, the first question is not going to be, hey, so what do you guys have for the devout Catholics on the team? But clearly, I'm sure you'll be looking to unpack your faith life into your new spring training surroundings. I have to imagine this is a time when it's really advantageous to have the solid prayer life, the solid Catholic foundation that you talked about earlier, so that you can focus on getting into the baseball and the new organization and know that you'll be able to really succeed in your private prayer life as you transition into becoming a Chicago Cub, yes?
Yeah, it's free agency is always funny in sports. Some people really look forward to it, some people don't. I've been with the Pirates in the big league since 2016 and with them since 2015. So, and a lot of us have been together and come up to the minor leagues together and then played together for over 5 years. So that part of that is what I'm going to miss the most, missing the friends that I made with the Pirates, the relationships that I made over there, the relationships with people in Pittsburgh that I've made. With that said, only a select few people get statues of themselves outside of stadium. So it's inevitable that you're going to be on different teams. And it's part of the sport. It's part of life, really. And I'm just getting transferred to a new city. So when we sat down to make the decision, I was really thankful to have more than one offer on the table from different clubs. So it had to become a decision where what's best for my family, what's best for my career. And Chicago made the most sense. It checked really all the boxes. Both my parents are from the Chicago area. My grandma still lives there. She offered us her two-bedroom condo to live in, which is funny because we are a family of five, and we say, Grandma, thank you, but that's going to be a little too small for us. But my youngest brother lives in Chicago as well, and I have aunts and uncles that live there too. So as far as my faith life goes, there's a ministry that I'm involved in called Catholic Athletes for Christ. And they have multiple different chapters, from high school athletics all the way to the professional ranks, MLB, NFL, NBA, et cetera. And over the last 10, 15 years, they've been pushing to have Mass at every MLB stadium on either Saturdays or Sundays. And over the last few years, the chaplain for the Pittsburgh Pirates, his name is Father Bill, and he's been a priest for over 50 years. I've developed a really good relationship with him. He's the godfather of my youngest son, Jude. And I just really developed a great relationship with him. And every off season, the CAC, Catholic Athletes for Christ, professional baseball chapter has a retreat in Southern California. And at those retreats, I've gotten to know the chaplain for the Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
Who's Father Burke Masters. And he and I have, every time I'm in Chicago, we get food, we catch up. He celebrates Mass for all the, for the players and staff. And it's also for the people at the stadium who are working that can't get to Mass all because they're working all day Sunday.
Very nice.
They're working all day Saturday.
Very nice.
So as soon as I called him and said, hey, like, the Cubs are a real possibility, it was like immediately like, okay, I'm praying for you. We're going to offer it at Mass. It's like, we're doing all these things to to get you here. So I'm really excited to be with him more than three times a year when the Pirates are coming to town, and I'm really excited to see how that relationship blossoms.
Well, and you mentioned that you were blessed to get offers from a few different teams. So as short a window of time as I imagine that probably was where you had to make that decision, I'm sure that you still spent some time in prayer with the Lord and with your family to make that discernment. And obviously it sounds like you're very happy with your choice in going to the Cubs.
Yes.
Well, I do believe I might have read somewhere about prayers. You might say, I don't know, is it on the mound or maybe in the dugout or maybe both? Is that correct?
Yeah, so there's with baseball, you're very routine oriented, and I think it's really with any athlete you fall into these routines and you're regimented and you have a strict kind of flow of how you want things to go and what works best for you, and you want the litany of saints, you want a litany of prayers, you want a prayer, but there's sometimes you only have 20 seconds between every pitch, so. The prayer I pray before every start is, Jesus, I trust in you. And it's a humbling prayer, and it's a prayer of humility. And I read that you're an oblate of St. Benedict, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what hits me the most, I have a devotion to St. Benedict. I'm not a big dog oblate like you, but I'm working my way that way. But the steps of humility that St. Benedict brings out, saying, the Benedictine has to believe that he is the lowest of the low, and not just say that, but actually mean it. So when I pray, like, Lord, humble me, I'm not just saying that to say that. I'm like, no, please humble me. And then I like look at the crucifix and I'm like, Jesus, I trust in you, but like humble me, but I'd really like, you know, a couple zeros tonight. I'd really like to have a good start. You know, it's, That prayer is such a hard prayer to say, and it just gets glossed over, and it can get glossed over when your mind's racing and when everything before the game kind of speeds up on you. It's a good prayer to look at the crucifix and say, like, Jesus, I trust in you. And if I take a step away, I'd be like, no, like, say that and mean it. Don't just say it to say it.
Wow.
As part of your routine, like, say it and mean it, and stop and be like, look, this start is for you. This start is all. You have brought me to this moment, and I'm going to give it right back to you no matter what the outcome.
Wonderful.
Is. Granted, you know, some days are harder than others.
Sure.
It's sometimes a lot easier. It's a lot easier to say that. But the humility process, whether you're a baseball player or not, is a daily cross, and you're constantly trying to go for that.
No doubt. So I mentioned in the intro about an organization that you're a founder of. You started to refer to it, called Project 34. Share with the audience all about that.
Yeah, so Project 34 is a 501c3 nonprofit foundation started by myself, Corey Hahn, whom I mentioned at the beginning, who broke his neck and had a spinal cord injury, and my wife and a few friends from Arizona State. We started this because Corey saw, he was blessed and lucky that he got hurt on the baseball field as a collegiate athlete. So his insurance was great because the NCAA covered a lot of his insurance and a lot of his rehab. What he noticed in his rehab process was that not so many people were as lucky as he was. A spinal cord injury really can vary from, Corey has met people that had the same injury as him and they were walking 2 days later. He's met people that have had a worse injury than him and they haven't, you know, done anything, or they haven't moved since then. It could have been 30 years.
Wow.
It's all across the board. So it's not like an ACL tear where, you know, you rehab for 9 months and there's 15 exercises that you do, and in 9 months you're good to go. It could be really monotonous. It could be a lifelong thing. It could be like, man, I scratched my nose today for the first time in 3 years. So what he noticed was there was some people had a lack of people in their corner, a lack of support around them, and it's just right when Corey noticed it too. Like, right when you get hurt, everyone wants to help, and then a month later they're like, what's going on? And then it just, after a year, they're like, hey, like, everything good, instead of checking in every day and making sure, like, hey, like, is there anything I can do for you? Tell me what I can do for you. I'm in your corner, even if it's just, I just want to go watch you work out and rehab. Like, let me just come over for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw a lack of that. And then he also saw a lack of help that insurance would cover for things. Mm-hmm. Wheelchairs are really expensive. Standing frames are expensive. Everything in the medical field is expensive if you don't have insurance. So what we do is we provide funds. We award grants to families and individuals who have a spinal cord injury. To date, we've awarded probably $35,000, $40,000, anywhere from home improvements where they need a chairlift to go to their basement or upstairs, to new wheelchairs, to standing frames, to helping pay for rehab. If they need to go to an outpatient facility for a couple months, we'll help pay for that. Really anything. We have a pretty broad application process, and we say, like, look, tell us what you need, and we'll be more than happy to help if we can. And
Fantastic.
Then there's another side is we help with an emotional support. So, like, if you're in the Houston area and you're rehabbing at this facility, we can get you in touch with people that are on the ground there that want to be there alongside with you. So we're in our third year, or we're about to start our fourth year, and we're finally seeing the fruits of our labor, because the first year was a lot of paperwork. It was a lot of making sure everything was in line and that it was legit, but we're finally seeing the fruits of our labor. And
terrific.
As Christians, we look at time and on such a finite timeline where we're like, if we're lucky, we're here for 100 years, right? And Christ and his all his power and all his might is time. He sees time as it is. And why does tragedy happen? We don't know. But it's to bring a greater good out of it, whether that greater good happens in our lifetime or whether it happens in three lifetimes. So we're trying to see, and we're hoping and we're praying that the greater good out of Corey's injury is Project 34 and the people that we help and support.
Terrific. And speaking of organizations, I also understand you are a very dedicated member of the Knights of Columbus.
Yes, I earned my third degree during the original shutdown, because thankfully they were doing online ceremonies now. So I was really thrilled about that. I'm a third degree member, and It's the biggest philanthropic organization in the world, men's philanthropic organization in the world. Every church has their knights, and I'm really thankful that I can be a part of that, even if it's just a small part of that. And I'm proud to see and meet everyone around big league stadiums that know I'm a knight, that they're also knights, and we connect on that level.
Very nice. Well, let's close by having you tell the audience all about your wife and kids.
I am married to Jackie. We met in a high school youth group. She dropped a Bible in front of me, and the rest was history. So we met at confirmation class. She was 1 year my elder. She was kind of like a Bible study leader, and she went to Gonzaga. I went to Arizona State. We did long distance for a while, and then after that, we got engaged, got married. We got pregnant 2 months into our marriage with our oldest, Isaac. He's 5 years old. And then in July of 19, we adopted a baby girl whose name is Josephine. We call her JoJo. And then in January, when we got matched with JoJo's birth mom, the next day we found out we were pregnant, because God has a hilarious sense of humor. And we, in January 20, our youngest son Jude was born.
Beautiful. Great story, great testimony. And Trevor, God bless you for your dedication to your Catholic faith, for all that you're doing in Christ's name. And we wish you and your family the very best, and certainly praying for you this season as you start in with the Chicago Cubs. And thank you so much for being on Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Of course. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate your ministry.
My pleasure. And listeners, since we have an athlete on the line, let's close this episode with the prayer to play fair in the game of life, which we haven't done in quite a bit. Do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, in the struggle that goes on through life, we ask for a field that is fair, a chance that is equal with all the strife, the courage to strive and to dare, and if we should win, let it be by the code, with our faith and our honor held high, and if we should lose, let us stand by the road and cheer as the winners go by. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.